This is Nancy Casey with an update about the situation in Haiti, where grassroots activists in the country have been responding to the disaster there since the moment it began. Mary Tacy, professor of geography at James Madison University in Virginia, is among the U.S.-based supporters of a Catholic parish on the island of Lagunave in the town of Pointe à Raquette. She has been networking across the country since the earthquake to find the help that Pastor Father Larish Roosevelt needs to serve his parishioners, essentially food and water. She writes, "First of all, you have to know that Father Roosevelt made it safely to Port-au-Prince and back. He attended the funeral of Bishop Millot and the seminarians who died in the quake. He said it was very sad. He met up with the group coming in from Waynesboro Methodist Church and was able to get the cash we sent down. This is great news. As I think I mentioned, the president told banks to open, but to give people only a little bit at a time so everybody would obtain at least something. The $3,500 that we were able to collect in 5 hours on Wednesday will be used to purchase rice for the people in Nambucan, where the poverty is extreme." The Navy ship USS Bunker Hill went to Ansagale yesterday instead of coming back to Pointe à Raquette. That is good. They are definitely in need of medical supplies, food, and water to care for the large number of people they are sheltering there in Ansagale. Now what we need is for some of the aid to get to some of the towns in the interior. I'm going to start emailing to see if the Army can't come up with a truck for Father Roosevelt to use to deliver food, or maybe a truck and a driver. World Vision has big, beautiful four-wheel drive vehicles, but we've been unable to make contact with the head of World Vision on Lagunave. No one has seen him. Mary Tacy then reported receiving this message from a person on board the U.S. Comfort, the colleague of a friend's husband. "I just got a declassified brief from our commander, and it certainly does seem that you and Father Roosevelt know a lot more about what's going on Lagunave than we do. Here's what I learned today. The reason the island is so desperate is not due to a direct damage from the quake, but because all of the supply ships from Port-au-Prince have been canceled or delayed. What's making this worse is the many citizens who decided to take off for Lagunave in canoes and chaloupes. But wait, you know that. The USS Bunker Hill and another supply ship was supposed to stop off at the island today. They intend to return regularly with help from us and the USS Carl Vinson." Chris Lowe, who is networking from Cambridge, Massachusetts, on behalf of the school in Matenois, a mountain town from the interior of Lagunave, reports that two representatives from that town went to the market city of St. Mark on the mainland to buy food. All of the cornmeal and millet had been bought up the day before, but they were able to get rice and cooking oil. They reported that while they were on their mission to the mainland, people from the port town of Ansagale, where the tens of thousands of homeless and injured people have landed, were walking into the mountain towns in the interior in search for food. Meanwhile, Afelin Rosemont, member of the group Femme Courage, whose focus is the rights and welfare of women and children on the island, reports the following from the areas outside of the Progressive Center in Matenois. She writes, "As each day passes, we feel some relief, at least in the sense that we aren't getting constant news about people who have died. There are some other things that are better. The Matenois Community School was open every day this week. None of the other schools are functioning, but we are feeding the children and many affected families, too. We want to put the children in an atmosphere that can help take away the shock that is in their heads. We talk to them about the problems they can have and the way that they feel. We have a sense that all of the work and organizing we have been doing in our communities for education and human rights are paying off in these respects. Let me tell you how prices are rising. Before the earthquake, rice was at 125 goods. Now it's 160. A gallon of cooking oil that cost 200 goods is now 260. Flour was 50 goods, and now it's 100. Damaged houses are starting to fall down on people. Children and the elderly are most vulnerable. Some places on Lagunave were hit harder than others. Plenmapu, for instance, has a whole lot of destroyed houses, and it seems that that community lost the most people in Port-au-Prince. There are a few people in the morgue, and all the rest are either still under the concrete or taken away and buried somewhere never to be found again. These are the priorities we have right now. 1. Find other shelter for people in dangerous houses until they can be repaired. 2.
organize schools to absorb the influx of children from Port-au-Prince, 3, find adequate food, and 4, meet with people who are experiencing severe psychological problems, especially those who are too afraid to function. It's hard to believe what's happened to us here in Haiti, especially on La Gonâve. We get strength and courage hearing about the efforts the people are going to in order to help us. Those were the words of Afilene Rosemont, a member of the group Femme Courage on the island of La Gonâve, writing to supporters in Idaho. And Christine Dadesky, author, documentary filmmaker, and social justice activist, is networking in the relief effort with a special focus on orphans and vulnerable children. On her website, HaitiVox.com, she writes, "How many children have been orphaned by the earthquake? The number is just a guess. We can't really know yet. Let's just say tens of thousands and leave it at that. The bottom line is that many children are without parents, in trauma, injured, homeless, and without any food. Many children have been taken to field hospitals and many to existing orphanages if they are still standing. Many facilities and homes and missionary centers were damaged and some lost altogether. But others survived and are operational and taking in a lot of kids. Right now, many children are simply camped out, outside, in the backyards of their damaged facilities, but some are getting help. Aid has arrived to some in the capital. The emerging plan is for Haitian orphaned, homeless, and vulnerable and injured children to be evacuated as a large group and taken to safety somewhere within Haiti's borders. Outside the capital, needs remain urgent and tremendous. Many, many orphanages, NGOs, and missionary groups are sending their people with supplies and wrangling to get incoming aid to these orphanages, but the situation is one of flux. Haitians have rushed to leave the destroyed capital, Port-au-Prince, and cities like Jacmel and Petit Goave, especially after the most recent big 6.1 aftershock. And children are on the move, too. They're searching for food or shelter or help they can get, hoping to find relatives in the provinces, if they have them. Many groups are worried about the vulnerability of these children traveling solo or in small groups, especially girls. There's serious risk of violence, and the risk of sexual violence trafficking is always high in countries or situations of disaster. UN and other troops have been picking up unaccompanied children and bringing them to hospitals, and then contacting Haitian, UNICEF, church, and private orphanage officials in the local areas to try and find these children a place in safe locations and give them help. Some orphanages with children who had pending adoptions have been able to fly children out of Haiti when the paperwork was ready or well enough advanced. Initially, there was a rush to get children out of Haiti, but this has been stopped. Why? In one unfortunate case, widely republished in the media, some journalist took a child that was scheduled for a U.S. adoption and put that child on a plane for Miami when the paperwork was not ready. Homeland Security stopped them, which has led to heightened security about other groups who are reportedly just coming into Haiti hoping to rescue children and take them home. Again, good intentions abound, and so do the urgent needs of children. So does love of children and the desire by many U.S. and other country couples to adopt these children. But there are Haitian and international laws concerning adoption and also against kidnapping and trafficking children. Those are the words of Anne-Christine Dadesky, writing on her website, HaitiVox.com.
This has been an update on the situation in Haiti. You can learn more about the work of groups and individuals mentioned in this update and how to support them by going to www.couragewoman.org. This report was produced by KRFP, Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and Yin Radio at yinradio.org. I'm Nancy Casey. Tout bagaille, tout en est bonne voisine.